This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Hey, hey, everybody. Keith Delaney, America Tonight. Clinton is sorry again. Biden is waiting. Trump is talking. And long live the Queen. Queen Elizabeth II is the longest reigning monarch. So we will definitely honor her. Right. Also at the end of the hour, Iron E. Singleton. Are you a Walking Dead fan? Yep. That actor is going to chat with us for a while about the Walking Dead and the huge success of zombies. What's up with that? But very thrilled at the beginning of the show, especially coming through a holiday weekend. We've got Chris Papps with us. He's the author of a new book called Capital Murder, an investigative reporter's hunt for answers in a collapsing city. What's really cool about Chris is if you wind the clock back, and we talked about this a bunch on America Tonight, if you wind the clock back to 2011, remember Harrisburg was the first and the only capital city in our history to file for bankruptcy. Now there's a lot of questions about what other cities could file for bankruptcy. So he's perfect to join us on this show. If you're in D.C., you can catch him on ABC, WJLA. He works there. Hey, Chris, thanks for coming on.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's talk about Harrisburg, since you really dove into that and covered what happened there. Take us back to the beginning steps. What was the downfall of that city?
Well, it all goes back to 1982 when Harrisburg elected this new mayor. This is a guy that came into office, into a city that nobody really wanted to run. Harrisburg was really your typical Rust Belt town. It was a city that throughout the 70s lost about 25% of its population. And that's 25% of your population that can afford to leave, leaving people behind that don't have the tax base to really fund the city. So a guy took over, and you know the railroads had shut down, and the manufacturing had left the city, and the city really was pretty much dead at that point. So this guy comes in, and he needs to find ways to get the city money. So he starts engaging in these accounting tricks and these financial tricks. And he starts taking money from accumulating through these things and reinvest it back in the city. And before you know it, you have a guy who's been mayor for 28 years. He's almost mayor for three decades. He accumulates a massive amount of power within the city. And when he was doing all these tricks and accumulating money and reinvesting that money back into the city was growing. And institutions were coming to town. And the people who were living in the city and the people that were around the city in the suburbs and through central Pennsylvania were seeing this mayor that was doing absolutely incredible things. A baseball team came to town, the AA affiliate for the Washington Nationals is the Harrisburg Senators. He brought them there and built them a beautiful stadium. New high-rises were coming up. He built the National Civil War Museum, the National Firemen's Museum, both of which are in Harrisburg. He created the Whitaker Center for Performing Arts, Harrisburg University of Science and Technology. New buildings, new businesses, new people coming in. He did these incredible things, won national honors. In 2006, this guy's named the greatest mayor in Harrisburg, but the entire time he was financially gutting the city and running up massive amounts of debt that nobody actually wanted to look at because all the people in the city wanted to see were new buildings, baseball teams, and museums, and not what he was actually doing. And after this man was mayor for 28 years, winning national accolades, the year after he leaves office, 1 year later, the city becomes the first and still the only capital city in American history to file for bankruptcy. What this man accomplished, what he was able to do, was just absolutely absolutely remarkable. So as an investigative reporter, when I got to the city and I started seeing what was happening and seeing what he was getting away with, I decided that I had to write this book, Capital Murder, so the rest of the country learns what not to do. I mean, Harrisburg is a shining example of a city that we need to learn from and say, listen, what this city went through was a remarkable financial collapse. The people of this city suffered. The quality of life deteriorated like you can't even imagine when the city went into bankruptcy. And everybody was just lauding this incredible mayor they had for 28 years. And he was the guy that did it. And nobody wanted to see it because the city looked like it was doing better under his reign. It's an incredible story.
So the upshot is, to avoid this from happening in other places, it means you can't have a government that's unchecked. You got to hold their feet to the fire, right? And be diligent.
He was remarkably unchecked. Because this was a guy, as I said, he inherited a dead city. And people were looking at the things that were happening, and then he just created this incredible amount of trust within the electorate. And again, after 28 years, most of his reelection campaigns, nobody even bothered to run against him. He was getting the Republican and the Democratic nomination. He was a Democrat, but he was getting the nomination of both major political parties, and he was just doing whatever he wanted to do. I say in the book that he was a dictator, and that's exactly what he became. He built up so much power that nobody could do anything in the city without his approval. And he handpicked his own city council, because if he didn't support you, you didn't get elected to city council. And the same thing applied to treasurer. The same thing applied to the controller of the city. All the elected officials he hand chose, he had a bunch of yes men. And it was also a situation where the media was not willing to hold him accountable. I mean, it's hard for me to even understand that, because being a member of the media, when I got to the city in 2010, 9 months after he left office, I saw that the news media just largely let him do whatever he wanted to do. He wasn't being held accountable. And you add all of these things together, and that's how you get financial collapse. That's how you get incredible amounts of debt being accumulated in a city without the people of the city even knowing it, because nobody wanted to look into the record. They just wanted to see new buildings being built and baseball teams coming to town. This is a formula that a lot of cities in America are duplicating, where their elected officials are building huge amounts of debt, building stadiums, for example, municipal stadiums, things that maybe their elected leaders shouldn't really be focusing on, but it's things like that that get politicians reelected. And in the process, they're building up massive amounts of debt. And if we have more cities going through what Harrisburg went through, it's going to be a rough patch for America.
Boy, no kidding. Chris Papps, how do we get a copy of your book, Capital Murder?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, most online places where people can normally get their books. And I hope that people check it out, because if more cities go through what Harrisburg went through, America is going to be in trouble. We give examples of how life deteriorates inside a city going through a financial bankruptcy, how the people within the city suffer, the city services that get cut. It was awful, and it didn't have to happen. Did not have to happen.
And I agree with you. Chris, thanks so much. We appreciate the time. Think about it. Think of your hometown. I can think of one mayor, the mayor of Detroit. Talk about a city that tanked because of its mayor. 855-266-5283. You can flip me a call. Coming up next, odds and ends, Serena Williams and Donald Trump. What do they have in common?
That's the way we stick out the case until the bastards break. There's no trace of the company.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor recommended Say Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue, and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com. The new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
We kick off yet another week here on America Tonight. And we have our first nail the score. Did anybody nail the score in the Cowboys-Giants game as that's wrapped up? I'll let you know coming up later this hour of America Tonight. But it's politics as usual, and I say politics as usual because the Sunday swirl is all about that, right? And always Donald Trump, he features heavily in it. There's no question about it. For whatever anybody says critical about Donald Trump, everybody wants to interview him if they're anywhere on the national stage. So he knows how to work a crowd, right? And he says he's ready for attacks at the next debate because he's got one under his belt. So he knows what to expect at the next debate coming up on the 16th. So that's this week. And it's a big one because it's number two. He says he has no worries about it whatsoever. And Saturday afternoon, he was campaigning in Boone, Iowa, preparing for that debate. And he said he wasn't worried about being on the stage with Carly Fiorina after he made the remarks about her face, which, of course, were quoted in the Rolling Stone magazine article that just came out featuring Donald Trump. I would say unplugged, but to me, he's always unplugged. So I think what you hear from Donald Trump is what you normally hear. And what he said in Iowa is, I think she's a very nice woman. I'm not at all worried. I think she'll do well. I asked that she be on the debate because I think she should be. So he's saying she wanted her to be in the debate. And, you know, that's the bottom line. So we'll see what happens. Once again, it's always a wait and we'll see once it all unfolds. But that's this week, and you can be sure a lot of people will be watching that. I say it again, because as much as you may know people who say, oh, I could care less, that's just a bunch of gas bags, I don't want to hear what they have to say, it's too many people, it's so XYZ, whatever it is, whatever reason they throw out there, there's so many rubberneckers. Meaning people that aren't even Republicans and have no way in their mind are going to vote for a Republican, they're going to watch what unfolds, because it is like the Cirque du Soleil of politics. It's one flip after another, and you can't help but watch it. You can't help but watch it. So check this out, and we've been talking about this really always on America Tonight when we talk about Hillary Clinton way back in 2007, when the talk was she was going to run, and then 2008. Hillary Clinton, supposedly what's happened, a little tiny piece of information is revealed. Hillary Clinton said Sunday that her former pastor gave her some biblical advice, saying, be nice to the press. So she made the remarks during some services at the 200th anniversary of the Foundry United Methodist Church in D.C., which she attended when her husband was president. She said she got the advice from Dr. Waggaman earlier in the morning. She said that on ABC News, and she said, I promise to put that into effect. Basically, he said, if you're going to read and listen to Romans 12, you got to be nicer to the press. So I've requested conversations with Hillary Clinton. I've never got them. Let's see if we get them, because we want to interview and talk to everybody, right? And she's definitely not had a great relationship with the press, because there's too much of a trap, a drain around her, where they don't allow her to speak to the media. So let's see let's see what happens and what kind of a reception she gets when now more reporters, I think, will step up, especially the ones following her daily, to ask questions. But that's pretty, that's another interesting Hillary twist to come out and say that and do that on ABC. Donald Trump, in the meantime, is speaking in Dallas, Texas. He's doing that on Monday evening. There are rallies planned of Latinos who do not like his immigration stance, but there are thousands of others who will be inside to listen to what he has to say. And that's the yin and the yang of Trump, as I just talked about Carly Fiorina and the fact that they've got the debate coming up in just a handful of days. He's not concerned about it, and of course he's not concerned about it. So we're kind of jumping around here, as sometimes we do when we jump into the pool on America Tonight, particularly when we're kicking off a week. There are some other interesting things happening besides, believe it or not, politics, and we'll absolutely jump into that, including some things that happen in the world of sports and a few little business tidbits as everybody waits with bated breath to see what's happening on the market or with the markets, and we get ready to take aim and set fire on the markets again on Monday. Of course, it's not looking good. But what does that mean? It's a market correction because of all the gains over the last 6 years. But tell that to the people who have the unfortunate timing of getting set to retire, those baby boomers, who all the gains they made have slipped back into the ether. That doesn't help them much. And then on the Hill this week, how do you feel about another government shutdown? Shut down the government again. How does that sound to you? Guess what? Every time you shut down the government, every time you mess around with this kind of stuff, who pays for it in the end? Ohio Governor John Kasich said Saturday he doesn't believe Congress should shut down the gov to try to defund Planned Parenthood. And why he says that, he was speaking to some college Republicans in New Hampshire, and Kasich was asked by someone in the audience about the debate in Congress over Planned Parenthood. And he said that if you shut down the government, will you defund Planned Parenthood? And he said the answer is no. So if you give out that scenario, if the government would shut down, it would reopen and Planned Parenthood would still be getting funds. So what are you doing? spending money is the answer to that question, and that's what he's saying. Now, others disagree, like Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. They've been pushing Republicans to stop federal funds, of course, from going to Planned Parenthood after some controversial videos that were depicting Planned Parenthood engaging in the wholesale of fetal tissue that have surfaced, so that's bad news for them. And the GOP frontrunner Donald Trump, also in this mix, they've called for it to be shut down rather than continue funding it. Congress has to pass a bill to fund the government, though that's where this is tied, this month, or there will be another shutdown. And that's the bottom line. So Kasich is saying he's against what's happening at Planned Parenthood, but he's not for shutting down the government to play that game of politics that really won't get done what they intend to get done. And here's the question. Do you agree? And I'm going to say Kasich is, you know, Kasich has a point. He's right. There's got to be a better way to get some things done. And there's other ways to defund things rather than threaten, okay, let's put everyone over the same barrel and steamroll the shutdown. And ultimately, what does that do? Does that achieve what the end goal was? And the answer is not really. By the way, because we started with Trump and we threw Trump into the middle of this, we're going to wrap this segment around Donald Trump. I know. Because, I am the poll princess. So Donald Trump, in the latest poll, surges to 32% support. Somebody likes Donald Trump. So he's the first presidential candidate on the Republican side to top the 30% support in the race, in the Republican nomination. This is the CNN ORC poll. He's pulling away from the rest of the Republican field. Shocker. He's gained 8 points since August. That's big. That's big movement. Ben Carson is in second place with 19%. Both non-politicians. You think we're tired of politicians? Because they have the majority right now of the support from Republicans. And let's put it this way, Republican-leaning independents as well. What's really humiliating, I would think, for Jeb Bush is he's in third place. What does he have? 9%. And I have a feeling during these debates, you can bet that's going to be thrown in his face. It makes sense that Donald Trump knows that and would probably throw that back out again. And really, that's what this election is about when you look at the small increments others have. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way here on America Tonight.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Lead non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937. Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? Reputation.com can protect your good name. Get a free consultation now at 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from Reputation.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up.
You want to throw in your two cents? You certainly can. Hillary Clinton's sorry, and she wants to be nicer to the press. That's what her pastor told her. You think it'll work? There's your question. And also Donald Trump, again, smashing everybody in the polls. But ultimately, you talk to lead Republicans, as I have had many, I'm serious about this, off-the-record conversations, because they're not going to go on the air and say that. They're really still hoping to push the Trumpster aside, but can he not be swept out of the way? 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE, and welcome to the week. On that note, let's see if we can go out to our pal, Tomas, in Michigan, or no, maybe it's Donald Trump. Hello, hello.
This is huge. This is huge. How you doing, Kate?
Yeah, everything he does is huge.
I'll tell you what's really huge, though, is he is now going to be able to point to Europe. Europe has just declared their borderless agreement. They call it Swiss Swan or something like that. They have agreement that they won't have any borders. They've canceled that, and they stopped the immigration invasion. And Trump is going to be able to say, you see, they should have listened to me.
Right, because then we'd have the same situation.
Yeah, and so he's going to be able to point to that and make huge points in the debate. I mean, he's just going to destroy everybody with that.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's if everybody will just go to, Google and check out the borderless agreement. They have a name for that. It's German. It starts with S.
Yep. It's out there.
It's called the Schengen agreement. Schengen agreement. It states that there is no borders in all those countries. Well, that's off the table now. I don't know how they can just, flip the switch and say so, but apparently when Germany nowadays says something, it happens. And that's going to be, you're going to see that used in the debate. And, Ben Carson, he is closing in on Trump now, and I think somebody's going to write an article, Kate, called Good Cop, Bad Cop. Bad cop is Trump, right? The evil white guy, strong, mean, and the good guy is Carson, good cop. And you can see that they're just covering both bases. They're 1-2 punch, everywhere now it's Trump and Carson, period.
Yeah, that's it. Everybody. You're right, period. And everybody else is so low on the totem pole. It's unbelievable. I mean, Jeb Bush, this is humiliating. I'm sorry. I got to say, I'm Jeb Bush. I'm a legacy guy. I've, got this family with all this history. I'd want to just go away. I really wouldn't want to keep doing this campaign thing.
Yeah, and, we weren't so right-wing and conservative, we would have to be screaming out of our brains about what's happening to Hillary, because she is now definitely losing in New Hampshire and Iowa. And if she loses those two, you talk about a lot of money going down the drain. She's going to probably be on TV now crying, that's the only card she has is the crybaby card. That's it. Because what else can she do?
But the problem is, once you're already branded and people don't believe you, don't you think? I think we are a nation that can forgive. But once you've been branded as, wait, what flavor are you now? And if that all that stuff had happened in the beginning, maybe it would have helped her. But I just don't think anyone's buying it.
Yeah, and I'm getting the feeling that the young women in this country really don't want a mother figure. They're very independent, and the last thing they want is somebody that reminds them of their mom in the White House, I don't know. But she, it's unbelievable that with all that money and all that political power, because she's already got, maybe she has all the delegates already. This could be a huge surprise for everybody if she loses the polls but gets the delegates anyway.
That could happen. You make an excellent point. That can happen. That's what people are saying about Donald Trump. But I just have to feel, or in my conversations with too many people that are high up, that they really don't want Donald Trump, but they can't ignore him, and he's causing them a lot of problems.
No, not, especially he's got $10 billion. If he has a normal politician, with $50,000 in the
needed
bank
money. Yep.
Then they could finagle the delegates, but with a $10 billion man up there, he would get his revenge. He would buy the media and just crush the Republican Party. And they're not dealing with just another guy. That's what the media is starting to figure out, that this guy, he's got a lot of strings that you can pull with $10 billion.
Yeah.
And I tell you another thing, this thing in Saudi Arabia, I think the focus is on what would be an ideal situation for replacing the Saudis, because that's what it's coming down to. The ISIS is there because the Sunnis don't want the Persian Iranian Shiites to come in and take over all that oil in the Sony Peninsula. So
right, exactly.
What would be a perfect problem solving situation for that? Well, let's see. The Russians would love to have control, right?
Iran.
Right. Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be a good road. The West wants something that would be a really good problem solving situation. They would want a Western or a non-Muslim, okay, control of that area. Now, if you say Russia or China, maybe China or India. When's the last time you heard Russia, China, and India together in a sentence? The BRIC countries. The BRIC countries.
Yeah.
Russia, China, India, and Brazil. And the only way they would get into that area is if the UN had to send forces in there because, let's say, somehow Iran got nukes and everything was going crazy and everybody was trying to acquire nukes and things were blowing up and the oil had stopped flowing. Then the UN would have to get involved. And who are they going to send? They're going to send from all over the world, Russia, China, Brazil, India, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe not too many Americans, you know. So, but that's my conspiracy.
But, I was just going to say, that's an interesting conspiracy theory. But how many people think Tomas perhaps was giddy over some of the football that was played today? I don't know, because I'm just saying, you know what? I went down the lane with you, and I love the way you think. I do. I love the way your brain works. But here's the deal. With the Middle East, the Saudis, are you kidding? I mean, here they're not even helping these immigrants, right, which we know the reason for all of that. And you're talking about it with the religious discord, Sunnis, Shias. It's like what we saw in Iraq, Sunni, Shias, Kurds, throw that into the mix. And it is a nightmare, but the Saudis have ton of money, especially a lot, as Tomas knows, the royalty there. They still have a ton of bricks of gold. So they have the power, I think. The kingdom has the power to do what they need. They might not have the manpower, but they can get it through the power of the purse. So I wouldn't look for any big switch there. That's why I said Iran. If to me, Iran is the country I don't trust that could go into a sweep of what can they possibly acquire, right? If somebody were weakened. Of course, that would mean war. That would mean looking at the borders there in the quicksand of the Middle East. Personally, I don't think that happens anytime soon. The ISIS distraction is the main deal, and Russia being especially the big ally of Assad, and America involved in it with the airstrikes and whatnot, and the allied forces with the airstrikes contributing also in that way. So in the very, very near future, that doesn't happen. But as the Middle East continues to get its gangrene on, meaning it's the atrophy of it, then that's when things will really, really change. And Tomas has a conspiracy theory, but if you follow along, something has to give there. You know, even with these immigrants who are finding new homes in Europe, there was a huge, don't be misled that the people like this, there was a huge demonstration. I mean, thousands of people were part of this anti-immigrant rally in Europe. And they're screaming, abandon plans to welcome Muslims, Islam will be death, all that kind of stuff because of these new quotas. There are plenty of people, citizens of those countries, who don't want to see that happen and who frankly are worried. You know, we're talking about, this is after leaders from the Czech Republic, Poland, Slovakia opposed the EU scheme to fix refugee quotas. 5,000 people in Warsaw chanting anti-Islamic slogans marched through the city. They were saying what I just said, Islam will be the death of Europe. And organizers are claiming, listen, at one point, it's hard to confirm the figure, but at one point it was double that number, 10,000 people. And there are protests in other countries, too. And especially the poorer countries, that's why Poland, it makes sense. Hungary, Poland, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, because they're the poorest members of the EU, and a quota system is much more crippling to them. All right, coming up next, a conversation with Ivan Eland in one of our weekly re-racks. You're going to love his peace of mind. Stay with us.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Books for the time. Ooh, wait, hello.
Welcome back to America Tonight. We're speaking with Ivan Eland. He's in our virtual green room, senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. Once again, he wrote a brilliant piece about something a lot of you have called about, and it's this refugee crisis. He's talking about the U.S. response to the Syrian civil war and the refugees, and it's very interesting. We just had somebody on from the region telling us how awful it is. Ivan, looking at this, the American response. Here's the first question. What is the American response, and what should it be?
Well, so far, you know, we've sent aircraft to bomb ISIS. We originally flirted with getting involved when the regime, the Assad regime in Syria, used chemical weapons, but then they were able to settle that dispute, and Assad got rid of his chemical weapons. So we almost intervened in the, earlier in the crisis. Now, supposedly our aircraft are only supposed to be hitting ISIS and not tangling with the Syrian Air Force. But, you know, we may get into a tangle because we're now guaranteeing in the north part of Syria an ISIS-free zone. But, of course, the regime still can go into that zone, so there may be some conflict there. We gave $4 billion to Europe to help with the refugees, but we've taken very few refugees. We're going to take, there were in the low hundreds last year, and we're about going to be about 1,500 to 1,000, to 2,000, excuse me, 1,500 to 2,000 this year, whereas, of course, Germany's taking 800,000. Now, of course, we're farther away. It's less of a problem for us, but we tend to go with the military response because we have by far in a way the most powerful military in world history. And so, you know, when you, the old saying is, if all you have is a hammer, you use a nail. But this is one area I think where we could improve, and that is to take more people. That doesn't necessarily mean that we need to give them full welfare benefits or anything like that. It just means that we take them in as political asylum and that sort of thing because they are, their country is in civil war. We have a huge country and the economy is doing better now. And I don't think people really should be threatened by this, because, especially skilled workers. So I think, you know, we could do more taking in refugees.
Yeah. And do you think the American public has that, shares that same view?
Well, I think some people do, some people don't. I mean, you know, the our politicians, the problem where we are in American history is we've sort of inverted what the founders of the country intended back then. They wanted us to stay out of foreign conflicts, and we are involved in this conflict whether we like it or not, so we're helping to, you know, to make the refugees flee. We may not be doing it on purpose, but we're certainly involved in the conflict over there. But the founders wanted us to stay out of foreign conflicts. And, you know, we've always welcomed immigrants throughout our history. It makes us stronger because we get new ideas. And it keeps our, right now it keeps our labor force young. Other countries have a much more of a problem with aging than we do. Italy, Russia, China. So, but now we've inverted this, and the presidential campaign is an example, especially on the Republican side, where Donald Trump, the front runner, his main issue is immigration and how it's bad and that sort of thing. And we have an excessively robust foreign policy from both parties. Let's get involved in this conflict or that conflict. So, you know, we've completely inverted the founders' intentions about what we should do in the world.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely, 100%. How about the president? He's getting clobbered, of course, by the Republicans. I don't know that that's necessarily a surprise. They're portraying him as you say, too. They're implying that he's a wimp, and there's a demand for more to happen, but mostly militarily, as you explained at the top, and that's the Republican viewpoint. Although Donald Trump the other day was saying, we need to help these people, we need to bring them in. Of course, no specifics on it. So,
you know, that's the problem with all this, is that even Obama's been slow to act and vague because he knows the immigration issue is a lightning rod, and he wants his Democratic successor to be elected in 2016 because it validates his own presidency. So I think even he is treading softly, and certainly there's only one Democratic candidate, I think Martin O'Malley, who's not doing very well in the polls, who said, listen, you know, we got to do a lot more in this area. So everybody's being vague. Even Donald Trump is being vague. And I think a lot of the Republicans might even be actively hostile to something like this. But, you know, I mean, it's just the state of affairs, unfortunately, that, and they're all reflecting in one way or another public reluctance to do this. And I think it's really against the American tradition, frankly. And we need to, you know, get up to the plate and, you know, start swinging on this issue and get more, take more refugees.
I agree. I think one thing that did resonate with a lot of people is the little boy who died, who could look like a little boy you see in a mall in America, whatever, with his face down and he was in the sand. That picture was pretty powerful. Did you see that?
Yes, definitely. And it really brings home, people can't seem to relate to this unless there's a some picture like that. And it's really very tragic, not only that case, but there's probably a lot of other cases like that as well. And so, you know, these people are fleeing civil war, and this is a really nasty civil war, a multi-sided civil war with Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and the regime, Assad regime is brutal too. So you have there's no good side, and there's very few heroes in this war, and the civilians are the victims. And it's not just, it's not just that this would benefit the U.S. economically to take refugees, because it always has. They've always made good here, most of them, the vast majority. But it's also a humanitarian crisis, as we've seen with the little boy and the rest of the refugees that we've seen in Europe and that sort of thing. And so these people are fleeing, you know, oppression and, you know, risking death to avoid an even more dangerous situation in Syria.
Yeah. All right, Ivan Elin, Senior Fellow, Director, as I mentioned before, of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. Check stuff out. There's a link. We're going to put a link up to Huffington Post. Thanks, Ivan.
Thank you.
All right, so as you hear there and talking about what Ivan is saying, we're taking up to 2,000 a year, but of course we're pumping money, $4 billion to Europe, and as he mentioned, the total for Germany, it's 800,000, up to 800,000 people, and I mentioned this already. You got to think of where the borders are and how much closer it is than it is in the United States. So, you know, this is the deal. It's militarily what this is where we are. We're talking about Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Iraq revisited again, and with this ISIS problem, which is a serious problem, and this humanitarian crisis combined, you know, we are the might militarily, and as Ivan talks about. But because of the horrific situation that we're having with getting our handle on our own immigration problem, our illegal immigration problem, and the debates, the raging debates over that, it is such a lightning rod in bringing people here, whether they're seeking asylum or not. And Ivan makes a great point that these are certainly not skilled workers, but the fear is, and what Republicans are saying is, how do we know, because think of where we're talking about, how easy it would be, and it would be, it's not paranoia, to meld into the refugees and if people are being brought to America, which is, I'm sure, the concern somewhat in Europe. Who's to say someone doesn't slip in, some terrorist doesn't slip into the middle of this? Because, of course, they'll take advantage of the innocent people. Already they're wiring people up, you know, as we know from Al-Qaeda, with bombs, children. And ISIS, by the way, is using children in their war. So it's not too far-fetched and ridiculous to think that that could happen. However, so that's, you can't hold back necessarily because of the fear of the unknown. So how do you get around that? How do you jump around that? What kind of background could you possibly do when you're talking about a mass of humanity? And that's the situation certainly in Germany. But, you know, you look at, and he gives the example is in 2014 that the U.S. took in only 132 of the 4 million refugees from the Syrian war the last time. Only 2,000, as I already mentioned, that total, will be allowed in if the policy isn't changed. But there is going to be not a big press to change that policy. So it's very unlikely that we will see the mass of that humanity, you see, coming to the United States. It's mostly absolutely going to be a European thing. We have to keep an eye on that. And then you look at the Middle East regions with a ton of do-re-mi, and are they taking people in? And the answer is no. So, great story by Ivan Elin. Stay with us. More to come next on America Tonight.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you love.